Gospel is from Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." You may be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your wonderful, powerful word. We pray that you would bless us even more with it as we ponder it in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a list of uncommon occurrences which I have made, and they are sometimes common to some groups, but you'll see what I mean. Getting married. It's uncommon for children to get married, but some others get married and some don't. Giving birth to a baby. Now we know that half the population is going to be able to do that and the other half isn't. Having a dream come true. That's sometimes a rare occurrence. How about riding in a hot air balloon? Has anybody done that here? Have we done that? How about, as my children's grandfather would say, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane to skydive? And who's done that? Raise your hand. There's one over here. There's two right by each other. All right. Swimming in the Pacific. Anybody? Atlantic? Shaking hands with the President of the United States. Oh, really? No. How about experiencing a miracle? Well, these 10 men had experienced a unique, a rare occurrence. 10 of them, they had skin disease called leprosy. A lot of the diseases were just lumped together. Some were contagious, some were not, but you know, they were all lumped together as leprosy, and they were outcasts. Like it had been for generations for other lepers, they had to live outside of the town, away from people so that they wouldn't contaminate them. And they were away from their family and their friends. And it's interesting too, though, like people who were in prison, like we hear about in the New Testament, people were allowed to help Paul when he was in prison because they didn't serve meals, it seems, you know. And so likewise for these people, they weren't able to make a living. They had to have people bring food to them and set it at a spot and then they'd come and get it. These were isolated people. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially. And so these men are staying around and they must have heard that Jesus was going to be coming by. I don't even know if they really know who Jesus was, but they must have heard that he could heal people. And so they stood at the accepted religious law distance and they, as the text says, they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They were asking for mercy. Jesus simply said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." One of the jobs of the Jewish priests, of course, was to determine whether or not somebody has, you can look it up in Leviticus, especially 14, did they have a contagious skin disease? If so, there's all kinds of different things they can do. Does the hair turn white? Is there a ring around it? You know, is it white around it? Is it all kinds of descriptive things. And they could also determine whether somebody was healed. That was the job, one of the jobs of the priests. So Jesus sent them to them. And they were probably expecting on the way when we were going to be healed, I guess, you know. Those 10 lepers left Jesus' presence, and they still had leprosy. But it says, as they were on their way, that's when they were healed. It's like they began their trip to the priests in obedience to Jesus. So while they were on their way is when they were healed. If then that is, right after that, we hear that one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He went to the one who had healed him. He came back to him. And this is the second time in the telling of this event that we have the words, a loud voice. First one he was crying for, mercy. And now he's giving praise to God. Just one of them, giving praise to God and coming to Jesus. And before, of course, they had to keep a distance. But now he is falling. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. What a difference, huh? He knew that now he was cleansed. He's coming back to give thanks. And it had to be before he went to the priests. I must bring a little bit in about this word thanked here. You know, some Christian traditions have the word Eucharist. I mean, they have Eucharist instead of Lord's Supper. They call it Eucharist. And it means good, I can't remember what it means. Give thanks, good thanks, something like that, Eucharisteo. It means I give thanks. And so they would celebrate that. But what I'm trying to get to is this. Here's the interesting thing about this word when it's used in the New Testament. It's used 38 times. The other 37 times when it's used, it's always giving thanks to God. And this one here is giving thanks to Jesus. So it's one of those things that I think is like evidence, a reminder to us that Jesus is not just man, but he's also God. Another one of those kind of more veiled references. Okay, now the man who came back, of course, we know he's a Samaritan. What do we know about Samaritans? They're what? Outcasts, they're what? Foreigners. He's a foreigner. And also, we know that they didn't, in their history, they didn't just worship Almighty God. They worshiped false idols. So they mixed, they're called like a half-breed, you know, religiously. And they were very unpopular. And, of course, you've got this Samaritan up against the other nine who were not, apparently, Samaritans. They were full-blooded Jews, whatever that would be. So this Samaritan was the only one of the ten who returned. And it's then that Jesus asked these three direct, powerful questions. Were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return to give thanks to God except this foreigner? Or to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Three hard questions. Sad questions. Because it shows you that those other nine didn't come back. It was Jesus who had healed them. Jesus wanted and expected them to be like the Samaritan, to come back and do what's proper. One might think, oh, why would Jesus have to have them come back and give thanks? Well, I like this quote that comes from Pastor John Piper. He wrote this. He said, God is the one being in all the universe whom seeking his own praise is the ultimate loving act. Get that? For God to seek praise isn't a selfish thing. It's the right thing. It's how we're made to be giving praise to God. And so he says, God is the one being in all the universe for whom seeking his own praise is the ultimate loving act. It's appropriate. If we were to say that, it would be less appropriate. You know? It's proper, it's right to give thanks in the right place. So, where are the other nine? Why didn't they return to give thanks to Jesus? Let's just do a little imagining here. Maybe they were still on their way to the priests, but yet they didn't come back, and Jesus was fair in that. Maybe they were extremely excited. You know, can you imagine? And maybe the scars are gone too. Maybe they have baby soft skin, and they can look my back. You know, everything. They're so excited. And then they're imagining hugging their wives and their children who maybe they haven't touched for months or years. They're really excited. This is finally happening. Maybe they've been praying for this every day. I don't know. Maybe they were making plans to surprise people. You know, imagine that. Who's there? Come and see. They must have been very happy, no doubt. Perhaps the other nine men had the idea of that they were had suffered so long and been separated and isolated for so long that they deserved this. Maybe they thought, we deserve this. They had been separated for so long. Now, nothing was going to stop them. Maybe they were on their way to the priest, and from the priest they're going straight home. They were very important things, perhaps, which they had grabbed their attention and occupied their minds. You know, very good things. Why not be reunited with your family? Why not be happy about it? There are always important things that grab our attention and distract us. Excuses accumulate quickly as to why we don't need to go back to give thanks. Very important things can distract us and take away that reminder. You know, like the Old Testament from Deuteronomy spoke about remember. And he said, do not forget. Do not forget. Remember the Lord God and give him thanks. Jesus said to the man, rise and go, your faith has made you well. The words of the saying that Jesus spoke to the woman who had sinned much in Luke 7. And also the same words, the idea that your faith has made you well. Same words were said to the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years in Luke 8. The same words that Jesus said to a blind beggar to whom he gave sight. In Luke 18. And so did the other ones not have faith? We know that this man did. The poor example of a believer who had a grateful heart. I don't know about the others. We don't know. We just know that they did not return to give thanks to God. A Christian author and pastor in America and Canada named A.W. Tozer, who lived early 1900s, he wrote about gratitude and he said this, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. Isn't that great? You can be richer for having gratitude and giving thanks to God. In our culture today, in our world, we do not see a lot of thanks. Today, this morning, Wednesday morning, outside the abortion clinic, I saw people giving thanks. A lot of people were giving thanks to the escorts leading people to death. Thank you for serving in this way. Thank you for being here. These people have no idea what they're saying. Giving thanks and praise to God is a rare occurrence today. I've been curious lately a little bit about graces. Did you know that I grew up with, you know, all the way from when I can remember to being the smallest it was all the way up through high school. I remember my family always said grace. They always said grace. And they always said the same grace. The exact same grace. You know, And I'm thankful that my parents did that, even though it was the same grace. We were still recognizing God and praising Him. I think of an article I read recently from, it was from back actually in April through May, but it came out like in July, the results did, from a Washington Post Kaiser poll. And they sampled Americans, 1,686 of them. They sampled them to find out about how often they said grace at meals. And it had some interesting results. 48% said they give blessings to God or say grace before meals at least a few times a week. Now, doesn't it just show you now, at least a few times? Okay, how many meals are there in a week? At least 21 probably, right? If you eat three meals a day. And so at least a few times a week, they're giving thanks. So a slim 51% say that they give thanks. It was like, well, I don't see the thing right here in front of me. Hold on a second here. A very small percent. Did you know more Republicans gave thanks than Democrats? I don't know what that matters or means anything. But I just thought that was kind of funny. But people in the rural areas gave thanks more than those in the urban or the suburbs, too. We're kind of probably not surprised by that. Even some atheists gave thanks. I don't know what they're thanking, you know, when they're giving thanks, but they did something like that. It was a very interesting poll. But in the end, it's too bad they didn't say at least half the time, but a few times. Giving thanks to God is a rare occurrence today. Shouldn't be amongst believers, but we just pray that it happens more. Our Heavenly Father has shown mercy to us. He's had mercy on us. Almighty God has blessed us with life and all that we need from day to day, you know, the daily bread. He blesses us. We've been given grace and faith and given forgiveness. God is present always with us and in us. What a gift. We're so blessed. We live out the uncommon occurrence of giving thanks and praise to God. Think about Jesus. He's done it all for us. May we be a part of making the uncommon occurrence of giving thanks more common, more regular part of our life. Each day, give Him thanks and give Him glory and praise. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise You. We thank You. We have so much to be thankful for. And we thank You for this Samaritan who was written down in history simply because he came back to You and gave thanks and praise. And that was lifted up. We pray, Lord, that we may do the same and help encourage others to do the same to Your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.